Blog Talk Radio.
Short period of time and a lot to say. So let's start it off like we always do. Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech and speak insolvent things. All the workers of iniquity boast in themselves. They break in pieces your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who hath planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? And he who teaches man knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment will return to the righteous, and all the upright in the earth will follow. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have soon been set aside. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O God, will lift me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteousness and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God and the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall and will cut them off. May God bless the hearers and the reading of his word. Good morning again, and thank y'all for joining me. I'm glad you could come to another session of To Liberate. Let me get some stuff off my chest this morning. Anybody want to call in? The number is 310-982-4136. Again, that number is 310-982-4136. Glad to have you out there this morning. Well, as you know, we got to get right to it because I ain't got a lot of time. And, you know, the more I'm hearing about this Sandusky and all this madness that's happening over here at Penn State, you know, it really baffles my mind. It really baffles my mind. When you start crossing the I's and dotting the T's, that this really is a deeper, it's a practice that pretty much is a prerequisite in quite male, it's like really protocol in white male establishments, especially in a good, if there's a good, there's a good old boy network that reaches all the way to the White House with kidnapping and molestation of children. Now, I know that you don't want to hear this, and I know that it's kind of hard to swallow, but I'm going to start with Boys Town real quick. And I think that I touched on this briefly, but I just want y'all to understand that there are stories of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal when it comes to our children and this government and religion. In fact, it's almost written into the laws of it. First of all, when you know the ancient symbol of family, man, woman, and child, and then when you realize that the Greeks were so full of sex, and when they took the woman out of the equation and allowed this to be a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, really there was really no place in this male-doctrinated pedophilia programming that really respects her. And that's why she will continue and to be really a second class or a third class citizen, because in this mindset of that 10% that control us all, this is a very acceptable practice. And all you gotta do is look at some of your Greek history. They were just really freaks. They had no God consciousness. Africans brought God consciousness to the world. So go ahead and do a little history. If you think I'm talking crazy, check that out. But Boys Town was a distinctive Catholic orphanage, and it was on the outskirts of Omaha, Nebraska. It was established probably 1917 by a guy named Father Flanagan. Okay, now the purpose was to offer help, hope, and healing to abused, abandoned, and neglected children. Okay, now they began this orphanage, I guess, with a population of like 6 boys. And it grew, you know, way beyond any expectations. But there's a story out, it's a pretty old story, and it was called the Franklin Scandal, okay? If you go to the website, to check me out on YouTube, you'll see very extensive information regarding this whole you know, closing of that facility. But just to suffice it real quick, it says Cora Deeney's leads list cites a number of Boys Town students who were reported victims of sexual exploitation, and his investigative report on April 20 of 1990 notes that he, this is 1990 now, notes that he interviewed the sister of former Boys Town student of a former Boys Town student who was allegedly sexually exploited. She said that her brother was extremely scared because the state patrol and the FBI had been very harsh with him. Look, I'm telling you, when they brought some of the guys in, the ones they decided to prosecute, you know, or put the soft gloves on, they never went high up the chain. But you had officers involved, you had businessmen that were involved. They would have these parties where they would have these young men from Boys Town served them up, toss the salads, eat them up, bust them open, and send them back to Boys Town. I mean, it was insane. Noel Seltzer, a former employee of the Franklin Credit Union, told Yorkshire Television that Boys Town students were customarily employed by the credit union, and that he corroborated those statements for me. The documents indicate that Larry King and the Franklin Credit Union had an ongoing working relationship with Boys Town since December of 79. The Franklin Subcommittee also acquired excerpts from a Boys Town Department report, departure report that discussed a student employed by King moving into King's home after leaving Boys Town. Okay? They said the first former Boys Town student on Corn Downey's list that this guy managed to locate was David Hill. The 37-year-old Hill was in the class of 83 and had played football for Boys Town. But years of drug addiction have withered away at his former Husky physique. He wears a baggy blue t-shirt, blue sweatpants, a beat-up Nike tennis shoes. Actually, he is guarded, but also chatty. A banter gleamed from the streets of North Omaha. He is quick-witted and a large gold incisor dominates the broad smile he flashes. Hill's self-destructive lifestyle has kept him perpetually unemployed. He bounces back and forth between his parents' couch, his girlfriend's house, and a homeless shelter. Though Hill's street echoes make him apprehensive about being interviewed, he gradually warms up to me after a few days. Anyway, on a second day together, we drove to Boys Town. As we walk around the campus, pristinely manicured lawns and majestic brick buildings, he recalls taking a trip to Disney World after his arrival at Boys Town. A vacation to Disney World was a universe removed from the disadvantaged North Omaha upbringing that he described. So then there's the other bullshit, he sighed. As we strolled over the football field, the sight of Hill's bygone glory, the Boys Town football team is practicing. We borrowed one of the footballs and tossed it around. Out of shape, Hill tires very quickly. Hill eventually told me that he hadn't been molested by anyone connected to Larry King, but by a Boys Town priest named Father James Kelly. He was familiar with many of the names on Lee's list and put me in touch with a former roommate who had been a mayor of Boys Town. The student body formally elected a fellow student to serve as mayor of Boys Town, which is an incorporated city with its own police force. So y'all got to remember that. It's like its own little sovereign nation. Yet he confessed Fred Carter, Hill's former roommate, when asked about being molested by Father Kelly while at Boys Town. Carter also confirmed King's pandering of boys town children. There were certain kids that had that look, that had that marketability. I knew certain kids that were into, you know, because they were young and it was all about money. You're like, huh? What are you saying? Well, you know, did you understand what I said? He was marketable. Next, they introduced me to somebody named Troy Harris, another former Boys Town student on Lee's list. He lives in Kansas City, Missouri. He greets us at the two-story brick home rented by his girlfriend. Now, check this out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play an excerpt of a young man. Here it is. Another Boys Town student recruited a lot of people for this King person. Okay? There was one particular situation like Hill who was unemployed. This particular guy flew me into Washington several times with 5 to 10 other kids. Half of them were probably from Boys Town. These men appear to be quite distinguished with their jewelry and tailor-made clothes. High society types, I would say. King would pay me anywhere from $100 to $500 in cash, and drugs were also available. I'd get the privilege back at Boys Town. King told me if I talked, there would be consequences. I was 11 years old when I started to fly with Larry King. I was introduced to Larry King by other boys at Boys Town. Kind of hard to tongue twister. Well, it goes on and on and on. Okay? Now, this was a very, very hot topic, and because Boys Town had such marvelous and history of doing such well work, supposedly in the community, with helping disadvantaged children. Now you know it was just a cesspool and a breeding ground for breeding boys for the power brokers. Now, I know this sounds like some sick stuff, but it's true. It's true. And all I can say is you got to do the research. You have to, you know, in order for us to get past this, the first thing we got to stop doing is being in denial about everything. And most of you, or those of us who are in that state of mind, it's only because of our Christian beliefs. We have to be in denial, and we have to let the truth bounce off, as opposed to doing the research to see. Because you probably got it going. This stuff is not limited to the Catholic Church. It goes on in black churches every day. Okay? So we're not going to say it's their problem. It is a Christian. It is a construct. And it is written in the bylaws. You just can't see it. But it permeates the spirit of the dogma that it's okay to do this. It really is. Because you have a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what it's about. And that's what it's going to continue to be. And until we understand what sex with children specifically plays mean to a certain mindset of people here, then we will never understand the madness. You know, Bohemian Grove is another place that is said to use these children, black boys specifically, for rituals, for sexual exploitation. And I think nobody does it better than Alex Jones, as he confronts a senator or something, David Gergen. Just confronts him about the activities and what goes on at Bohemian Grove. And of course, David Gergen is totally unaware. And, well, just hear for yourself.
While in New York, covering the Republican National Convention, we ran into David Gergen, a Carl Rove of four presidential administrations. One last question. I read a Washington Times article many years ago where you had a comment about the organization, and then now it's been in the Wall Street Journal, it's been in a lot of different newspapers, and that's the Bohemian Grove. And back in, 1996, when you joined as a Clinton advisor, the Republicans were criticizing you, oh, what about Bohemian Grove? And then you countered them by saying, hey, I don't run around in the woods naked. What does that mean?
Here is the before-mentioned Washington Times article. He said, I didn't run around naked like they do.
I don't know what quote you're referring to. I'm not aware of any quote like that. I am a happy member of the Bohemian Grove. I like the folks who come there, and it's really inappropriate for me to talk about the group beyond that.
Thanks. Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of care?
Frankly, I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
Really?
That's right.
I'm Alex Jones, and I snuck in there in 2000. I'm the guy that blew it wide open.
got the video. It's been on national TV.
Well, I disrespect you for that.
You do?
I do.
There's a lot of big public officials going in there.
You
don't deserve enough.
You took it. I don't know anything about you, and I don't know anything about yourself. But if you go in there with an understanding, you violate that understanding by really standing still, and I don't respect you for that.
Really?
I'm sorry, you took an understanding when you went in there that you would not to do that film. Did you have an understanding when you went in there?
No.
Did you crash it?
Yes.
Yeah, and they have no trespassing signs there too, doesn't it?
No, they put yes. the bathroom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sir. I've been there before. I know what circumstances are, and I'm sorry you violated the understanding. But not, that was the gentleman.
But what about the ritual? Is the ritual gentlemanly?
I don't owe you this time, Matt. You have this is what's called ambush journalism, and I disrespect you for that as well. So thank you. Think about it. Leave your damn business.
Oh.
Listen. You go around and make understandings with people and violate them. You ambush people in the streets, and that's an inappropriate form of journalism. If you wish to practice that, that's fine. But don't ask others to respect you for it. You want to, you can do your pre-American like anything you want. If you want to be uncivil and rude and ungentlemanly, that's up to you. But don't expect the rest of us to say, oh, well, you're
there, Mr. Gergen.
I'm sorry, nobody says policy in there. We try to be gentlemen, and obviously you don't belong there.
Weaving spiders coming out here?
That is a three-pointer. Woo!
Look how she's breaking it in the hand. We brought it up. Why is he acting so secret?
As you can see, as you know, when he took it to that level, Gergen couldn't take it because he didn't recognize Alex Jones. He didn't recognize the fact that he was being asked, he's going to be asked questions regarding Bohemian Grove. So the calmness of his spirit before he was asked of Bohemian Grove a question and his response afterwards should already let you know what goes on at Bohemian Grove is not something that they want to discuss with you or I. Okay? Bohemian Grove is a cesspool full of madness where every year politicians get together. You got on a white set, they go somewhere and they go off and they worship this idol called Molech, and they sacrifice something black. I mean, these people are out of their damn minds. And what has happened is they've learned our sciences and they've taken them and flipped the script, represented it back as evil, and they get deities from it, and we are losing our babies, and they kidnap them, and we don't even put a connection together. We don't put a connection that we are more important to them than you think, only on one, more than one level. Now, the biggest problem in this whole equation is some of y'all going to have to go. Some of y'all just going to have to be shut down, broke off, okay? Because you're not ready. You don't want to hear it. And in fact, when somebody brings truth to you, you reject it. So when you fall down in a ditch, don't say nobody didn't warn you and try to pull your cover, to pull the cover off of your eyes so you can see. We got to stop killing each other. We got to start understanding that if America has a cold, we got pneumonia. So whatever is going on, and they are stealing our children, okay, and they are sending them to a prison industrial complex, and we are under a rule of pedophile, demonic devil worshipers, that all the stuff that you think is real, you need to be asking yourself, what was my great-great-great-grandmother before they presented her with this program? Because when she got off that slave ship, Jesus, she didn't know this stuff. In fact, it wasn't until the turn of the 19th century where black people really, really just said, okay, I give up. You understand what I'm saying? They rejected this because this is a foreign aberration on all of us. And what it does is it breeds this type of behavior, and what it does is it says it's okay, you know, and I'm taking it there because I know that's not what you want to hear. And for y'all that's shaking your butt and thinking that that's the only thing that's important right now, well, even though it's nation time and we dying, then this last piece of information is for you. I want to thank y'all for joining me this morning. Like I said, we had a very short time and a lot to talk about in the short period. But for black people, this is for you.
Great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time left. Filling the jails with you. Filling the jails with you now. He's taking your babies from you under all kind of false pretenses. Got you now, so hateful of your men. I understand, sister. It's justified. Brush your damn dogs. How in the hell could you be a man and lay with your own daughter? How could you be a man? Your niece, or even fondle your nephew. What has happened? What has happened to you? He's made us all baby. We're in the choir now. We're in the pulpit now. He has made us all. Here you walking with that song in your behind. And now it's the ass-shaking contest. Yes, you know what I'm saying. It ain't a brain-moving contest. It's an ass-shaking contest. And you want to be the new winner. Don't look at me like I'm saying something foul with your foul ass self. Out and meet me with clothes on. But how does the city see you tomorrow? Damn hypocrisy.
like showing your behind. Damn right I'm going to teach that truth. Because I tell you, I'm sick of it and I'm sick of you. And if you don't clean up, I'm throwing you back in that filth that's out there, because that's what you're bringing in here, and that's got to get the hell up out of here. Some of you bow tie wearing niggas, low life niggas, you can't wait to get one of these and destroy their morals when they're trying. God damn it, I'd rather have one or two with me. To hell with the rest of you. If that's what you want, then you go where you're happy. If you like it in the filth, go and bury yourself in the filth, because that's where they're going to find you. Maybe you said you clean up, or you're out of luck with them. Clean it up! You will or you won't. Mark that now. But what will be the voice in your ear tonight? The mark has to be made into an example. You can't say I'm a fisherman and bring the lost and founds and then bury yourself in the mud and filth of the world, thinking that as long as you bring people, you can keep on doing filth. You don't think that there's a day of reckoning. I just come over here and look at some of my ministers. All that crap that's going on, your days are numbered. I don't care how high you are, I don't give a damn. Because God is no respecter of persons. He'll bust our behind right on down, because he don't need one of us. And I'm coming to the point where I don't need one of us. God damn it, we either get cleaned up or get the hell on out of here.
Hold that family.
Find fault in you. None of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, under the same sky. So let's just get it right now.